and welcome to our Faith, Family, and Freedom program today. I think we have an exciting program with so many different parts to it. I think we're going to enjoy some good singing. We're going to enjoy a message and then some nuggets. And throughout the entire program, I think that you will find it to be helpful. Perhaps it'll be inspirational and educational to you. Our goal always as we go around the country is to promote the faith of our fathers and promote the monogamous family unit and also defend the freedoms that we have enjoyed in what we call this participatory republic, this democracy in the fact that people do get to vote for their candidates. And hopefully we want honest elections. You know, somebody said it's not just the people, it's not the people that vote, it's necessarily maybe the people who count the votes. And so we do need fair elections, the integrity of the ballot. And throughout this program, we try to interweave the various compartments, so to speak, that we think will help to alleviate the concerns and the dilemmas that we all face from time to time. What an exciting time. We're going to get right in to the program that we have planned for you today.
God gave a bold command to cross the Jordan and take the land. Not to worry about the giants they would face. But when the spies returned to tell the others what they had learned, they said, "For us to win, there's just no way." Still, two of them trusted God, Caleb and Joshua. They said, "Children, don't have heard. We know we're outmanned by far. They're much bigger than we are. But let's not forget just who it is we serve."
With all the many miracles, why don't you think it's possible?
Why don't you think it's possible?
Don't you think it's time we trust? Remember what is possible with all the many
miracles. And friends, we have a tremendous opportunity. And I'm referring to each of us as citizens, as pastors, evangelists, preachers. We must stand in the gap and we must cry aloud. I think that what we're seeing today, as it involves the attack upon the Christ of the Bible, the church, and our culture that we have had in place heretofore, when we can't identify a woman or say that a man is not able to bear children, when it's not popular and oftentimes can come with vehement reprise if somebody dares to say that God created something, or that we live in a day and time when the landmark that we've always adhered to, the ideas of integrity, respect for others, going the extra mile, having a forgiving attitude, and living in some modicum of civility. When it gets to the point to where that you have not the right to speak out, that only certain kinds of speech is permissible, but if you speak in behalf of traditional values, or if you speak against wokeism, if you speak against the heretical, radical extremists of the communist sort, those who deny the existence of God, that want to condone the Hamas, that want to vilify Israel and want to do all that they want to do without us saying anything, then we need to be active. I believe that our first goal is to try to win the lost to Christ. We're not necessarily trying to make better conservatives out of conservatives, but we're trying to share the gospel. But in the meantime, I think we ought to stand. You know, it was said of Mark Twain that he remarked that in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a brave and scarce man, often hated and scorned. But when his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. I think we're going to either have to stand up, regardless of the cost, regardless of whether or not we get the social acclaim of the community. When we stand against the educational institutions that promote this kind of idiocy, when they say that I've got a birthing person rather than a mother, we know that those kinds of pronouns, that they signify trouble. What has happened to us? Have we lost our minds when we get to the point where that we feel like that if we say something that we've always accepted? You know, it was Pat Buchanan in his book, The Death of the West. He said, in half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their values assaulted, their country invaded, and themselves demonized as bigots and extremists for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held for generations. I try to do interviews. I try to present this Faith, Family, and Freedom program because I'm wanting to do something for my family, your family. I'm wanting to preserve the integrity of the family. I'm trying to speak against this false education that's often promoted by the teachers' unions and by those that would tell us that, look, we're not going to be a part of anything that promotes patriotism or love of country or God. You know, back years ago when Noah Webster was teaching, it was happened to be books like the New England Primer or those kind of books. Today, when we went to John, when we went to Thomas Dewey, John Dewey, excuse me, then we started having books like Ethel Has Two Mamas and some of that nonsense. So consequently, we have a big responsibility. I hope that we'll use the time wisely. We must, or we won't have a country left, and we'll be saying more about it shortly.
Listen to the great story.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart. with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Back in the mid-80s, I believe it was around 1984, President Reagan went to Normandy there in France, and he gave a commemoration as that would have been about the 40th anniversary of D-Day. And he said something that I've used previously, but I think it needs to be re-said. He talked about how that the nation, people gathered for prayer and different states and Georgia, and people met and early in the morning, and how they rang the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. There was a feeling among the people that only God could bring victory to this situation, this world calamity that President Roosevelt described when he talked about the attack at Pearl Harbor on January or December the 8th on a Monday. He called it a date which will live in infamy. President Reagan also later talked about how that those men going up the cliffs there, that I think there were about 220 that started, and every time one would fall, another would take his place. It got down to about 90 people. And in these remarks, he gives due benevolence to the God of all humanity, how that he gave us favor. And these men that came from all over the United States of America, they were thoroughly committed that they were fighting for a cause. They weren't fighting just to be fighting, but they were fighting for homes. They were fighting for their faith and churches and their community. And many, of course, never came back. Charlene and I were privileged to go there to the cemetery there at Normandy. We've seen the bunkers, and we've seen where the oceans were. And, of course, we didn't have any way of knowing the magnitude of the suffering and the fighting. But those beaches like Omaha and Utah, they are recognized in our history books because these are the places that men died, never got back home, buried there in local cemeteries and whatever. But we're thankful, and I thought today that we would take time and once again revisit as President Ronald Wilson Reagan reminds us of the bravery and of the sheer commitment that these boys brought to the battlefield there at Normandy.
All of you loved liberty. All of you were willing to fight tyranny. And you knew the people of your countries were behind you. The Americans who fought here that morning knew word of the invasion was spreading through the darkness back home. They fought or felt in their hearts, though they couldn't know in fact, that in Georgia they were filling the churches at 4 a.m. In Kansas, they were kneeling on their porches and praying. And in Philadelphia, they were ringing the Liberty Bell. Something else helped the men of D-Day. Their rock-hard belief that Providence would have a great hand in the events that would unfold here, that God was an ally in this great cause. And so the night before the invasion, when Colonel Wolverton asked his parachute troops to kneel with him in prayer, he told them, "Do not bow your heads, but look up so you can see God and ask his blessing in what we are about to do." Also that night, General Matthew Ridgway on his cot, listening in the darkness for the promise God made to Joshua, "I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." These are the things that impelled them. These are the things that shaped the unity of the Allies. When the war was over, there were lives to be rebuilt and governments to be returned to the people. There were nations to be reborn. Above all, there was a new peace to be assured. These were huge and daunting tasks, but the Allies summoned strength from the faith, belief, loyalty, and love of those who fell here.
Friends, this is Andrew Phipps. I read something the other day I thought was kind of funny. It has to do with our spiritual literacy and our spiritual knowledge. A fellow said, if you think Nicodemus is a patch to stop smoking, then we need to stay awake during the service. And many times I'm afraid that we disregard or that we become lethargic to the scriptures and to preaching. Old-time preaching still gets the job done. It will do the job. It always has. It always will. We need to call sin by name. We need not try to give it a euphemism or gloss it over. The Bible categorizes certain things and says this is sin. And we can know that. We can judge that. And many times people say, well, you can't judge. Well, they don't want us to judge. That's what it is. They don't want us to judge spiritual matters, but we have every right to be able to identify what is contrary to the Word of God. And I hope that you have a great day. And this is Andrew Phipps.
And friends, I thank you again for joining us for today's Phipps Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast. We have a website that you can go to if you want to order our book. We hope you might take advantage of that. Or if you need to contact us, and we do get some calls from people asking us about coming to their area or whatever, that would be wonderful. And we'll certainly give it prayerful consideration and see if we might be able to make that availability finalized. Again, I thank you for telling your friends and neighbors about this program. We're not the solution or the panacea for anything, really. We can only direct you to one that can, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here today to brag on him, lift up his name, and tell you that he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Salvation is in Christ. He does the convicting. He does the converting. And if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. I believe the test is whether or not your attitudes and behavior have changed as a result of your telling others that you are a believer, that you are professing Christ. The evidence to me is in whether or not we have a desire for spiritual things, to pray and read his word and go to church. I think we ought to have some kind of spiritual appetite. Now, I know we can all get maybe where we get a little bit low, and maybe we need to have some encouragement or reinforcement. Maybe we need the help of the brethren to kind of help bring us along a little bit, but only Jesus saves. There's no other way other than through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died, was buried, and rose for you. and taking your place as a sinner. And when you do that, you'll find out that he's the Savior. Please tell others about our program. I'll look forward to being with you at the next familiar time. But until that special time, this is your friend, Andrew Phipps, saying, may God bless you and have a wonderful day.